Chapter 12, Mycelium Pilot. The party enters a bright chamber behind Lord Ebonheart's sarcophagus. The stone floor holds a large, circular pattern etched with glowing organic lines. Thousands of wispy, ethereal fungal tendrils pulse outward from within, casting an otherworldly white light across their faces. Interior, Mausoleum, Mycelium, Terminal Chamber. Thorn.
At last, the mycelium, our ticket out of this forsaken place.
The fairies approach the circle with practiced familiarity. Thorn examines the terminal while Rosie and Balthazar hover nearby, wings fluttering with anticipation. Bjarn moves toward the circle confidently despite his blindness, Gullinbursteen nudging him forward with gentle prods. Bjarn, petting Gullinbursteen.
Goldie, it's time to go home.
The soldier stands back with Salome clinging to his leg. Bill stares at the phenomenon, jaw slack. Bill.
What is this?
Thorn.
Private Zelinsky, what you see before you is a window into the mycelium network. It's a rather extraordinary fungal growth that spans the entire globe. Quite remarkable, wouldn't you say?
Rosie.
We can use it to travel anywhere in the blink of an eye.
As they gather around the glowing circle, Thorn's expression shifts from relief to dismay. Thorn.
Blast it all.
Bill.
What's wrong?
Thorn.
How could we have been so dreadfully brash? This place has poisoned our minds. To come this far.
Turning to the group, frustrated.
We've overlooked something crucial. We haven't a pilot.
The fairies share a look of concern as the gravity of the situation sinks in. Balthazar, smacking his forehead.
Bozumoy, with a pilot, we would.
Rosie.
They lost in the fungus. Or worse.
Bill, panicking.
Worse what?
Grendel.
Fungus eat you.
The excitement drains from the room, shoulders slump, faces fall. Bill.
I don't understand. What do you mean by pilot?
Thorn.
We need a representative of the fungal network, a rootkin, a mushroom man, if you will. These beings are one with the network. Without their guidance, I'm afraid we've reached an impasse.
He sits down in frustration.
I require a moment to contemplate our next move.
The group settles in to wait. The soldier and Salome exchange a look and begin to explore the chamber. Gameplay element, interactive dialogue. The soldier and Salome check in on the thoughts of the party members who have scattered around the terminal chamber. The soldier approaches Thorn. Thorn paces the edge of the glowing circle, mechanical eye whirring as he calculates possibilities. He barely acknowledges their approach. Thorn.
Blast it all indeed. To come this far, only to be thwarted by the absence of a damn rootkin pilot. The network is quite impassable without proper guidance.
Thorn waves them off impatiently.
Not now. I need to think.
The soldier approaches Rosie.
Poor dears. We're stuck here without a pilot. And Rootkin are such pure creatures. They'd never live in a place like this. We'd have better luck finding a fir leaf clover in a field of weeds.
The soldier approaches Balthazar.
Finding Rootkin pilot here? How? Like finding Snowflake in hell. Nobody with a brain left in this town. Only chance. Maybe one got lost. Ended up here by accident. But who that stupid?
The soldier approaches Grendel, rubbing his stomach.
I regret eating the fly. Stomach feel like I ate 3 week. Old Nemasu left in the sun. Plague.
The soldier approaches Bill. Bill sits against a wall, scribbling frantically in his journal. His hands shake, muttering to himself.
Magic, well, monster bar. Elven, lord turned to fly. Girl swats demon. Turtle man eats it.
He looks up as the soldier and Salome approach, quickly closing his journal.
Oh, hi. I'm just documenting all of this for when they throw me in the nut house later.
The soldier approaches Bjarn and Gullinbursti. Bjarn sits on a broken pillar, his unseeing eyes fixed ahead while Gullinbursti nuzzles his hand. Bjarn.
I can hear the strength in your footsteps, Metal One. Where others see despair, I smell hope. We will find our way through this network and out of this cursed town. Mark my words.
The soldier and Salome step from the mausoleum into the graveyard. The air no longer burns their lungs. Black veins of corruption that once pulsed along the gravestones now shrink away like dying snakes. Fresh grass pushes through soil that hours ago was toxic sludge. Exterior Moon Barrow's graveyard, twilight. Gravedigger Grimm stands just outside the mausoleum, leaning on his shovel. His clouded eyes stare into the middle distance as the soldier approaches. The dirt under his fingernails looks less putrid somehow. Grimm.
I heard all that ruckus inside Lord Silver's tomb.
He scratches his neck, revealing skin gradually shifting from deathly gray to something more like flesh.
Supposing you killed him then. I reckon things gonna change round here now. Folks around these parts gonna start living instead of dying.
Grimm returns to staring into nothing. The soldier and Salome continue down the cemetery path. Tombstones stand merely weathered and old, no longer oozing black slime. Moonlight breaks through the thinning fog in pale beams. Midnight sits atop the gate, her feline silhouette sharp against the moon. Midnight.
Favored hounds now lie with their master in eternal sleep. The overlooked shadow outlands the cherished pet.
She curves her spine in a lazy, elongated stretch, then licks one paw and draws it slowly across her ear, eyes never leaving the pair.
Irony tastes sweeter than cream, does it not? When the master falls, the servants rise. One curse broken reveals another sleeping beneath.
Midnight leaps from the gate, her edges blurring into shadow as she vanishes. A glittering crystal tumbles to the ground where she stood. Salome scoops up the crystal and pockets it. They pass through the cemetery gates, following the path toward town. Exterior Moon Barrows, Central Garden. The Central Garden sheds its corruption before their eyes. Blackened pools shrink, revealing ordinary soil. Twisted plants straighten as moonlight strengthens. The sickly sweet rot gives way to the scent of damp earth. Moss.
Hey, mister, the poop smell is gone. That was my favorite smell.
He points at the garden, where tangled roots slowly unwind themselves.
My garden is still ugly. Do you have any more flowers to make it pretty?
The soldier opens his empty hands in apology. Salome shakes her head sadly. Moss, his leaves drooping slightly.
Oh, okay. Come back when you find flowers.
They leave the garden and head for the rotting maw. Interior, rotting maw. The soldier and Salome enter the tavern. The entrance's teeth remain frozen mid-gnash, but no longer drip black ooze. Wooden beams straighten imperceptibly. The patrons look around with confused expressions, rubbing their eyes as if waking from a dream. The suffocating miasma has thinned enough that Salome no longer covers her nose. Sickly fungi along the walls shrivel at their edges. Candle flames burn clearer now. The soldier approaches Zix. Zix wipes down the bar with a rag that for once isn't making the surface dirtier. Zix.
Still stuck in this dump while you mortals traipse around. At least the air's getting less putrid.
The soldier approaches Eklavdra. Eklavdra paces behind the bar, wings beating erratically. Her amber eyes dart around as patrons mutter about the changing air. She freezes mid-step when she spots the soldier, pupils contracting to pinpoints. Eklavdra.
Something is wrong, the beautiful decay. It's fading.
She clutches the bar edge, knuckles white, the corruption veins across her skin begin to fade.
I can't feel his touch anymore. My Lord Putrelax, have you abandoned me?
Her gaze flicks between the soldier's expressionless face and Salome. Recognition flashes briefly, replaced by denial.
What did you do? Where have you been?
She shakes her head violently.
No, no, he's just testing us. Testing our devotion.
The soldier approaches Magistrate Vex. Magistrate Vex sits rigidly at his usual table upstairs. His pitch-black skin absorbs the light while his silver chain catches occasional candle flickers. His white hair, normally immaculate, is disheveled. He stares at an open ledger, trembling fingers hovering over shifting entries. Magistrate Vex.
My records of law. All this time. Infractions about improper decay disposal. Fines for insufficient rot coverage.
He looks up as they approach. His eyes lack their usual stern authority, reflecting only uncertainty.
These were never our laws. Moonbarrows wasn't built on this.
He presses a hand to his forehead, smudging ink across dark skin.
How did I not see? I was meant to maintain order, not this madness.
His quill drops from shaking fingers, leaving an ink stain that bleeds into the paper, then begins to clear.
Something's changing. Something fundamental.
He touches the chain around his neck, fingers tracing unfamiliar patterns, as if discovering it anew. The soldier approaches Muntz, Gumble, and Sizzlik. The three goblins huddle around their table, surrounded by empty mugs. Their argument rises above the tavern's murmur. Muntz.
It's your bloody fault we're stuck here, Gumble. You said the tunnel we was digging would lead to treasure.
Gumble.
What me? Sizzlik's the one who read the map upside down.
Sizzlik.
Don't put this on me. You're the one who insisted on digging through that mushroom vein.
Muntz.
That lot of good your expert tunneling did us. Now we're trapped in this rotten heap.
The tavern lights brighten momentarily. All three goblins look up, exchanging confused glances. Gumball.
Maybe if we just dig deeper.
Zix, cutting in from behind the bar.
Oh, come on, fellas. Dig! Dig! Is that all you can come up with? Perhaps you intellectually challenged specimens could apply your expertise in manual labor to rebuilding the broken bridge instead of endlessly trying to dig under it.
The goblins freeze, wide-eyed. Sizzlik.
Blimey, the imp's right.
Gumball.
We've been thinking about this all wrong.
Muntz, slapping the table with newfound purpose.
Right, then. Forget them shovels, boys. We've got ourselves a bridge to build. Let's get to planning.
The soldier approaches Pierre and Sir Giles. The Frenchmen occupy their usual spots at the bar. Sir Giles sits with his helmet askew, while Pierre leans heavily on the counter, squinting at his wine glass and swirling it with growing suspicion. Pierre.
Mon Dieu, this wine, it tastes like merde.
Sir Giles, raising his own glass to the light.
Sacre bleu, we've been drinking this swill for... how many years?
Pierre.
Je ne sais pas, but my head, it starts to clear.
He straightens, muscles tensing as if preparing for action.
The Great War. I was in the trenches.
Sir Giles, touching his helmet.
No. I was in the greatest war. And then I fell down the well at the Citadel. And I haven't left here since.
They stare at their glasses in horror. Pierre.
Maybe we switch to water, no?
They pause, considering. Sir Giles and Pierre. Laughing.
Never!
They clink glasses and drink deeply, but neither looks as content as before. The soldier and Salome leave, heading toward Lord Ebonheart's manor. Interior, Lord Ebonheart's manor. The manor's transformation contrasts sharply with the tavern. Where the rotting maw shows improvement, the manor reveals what was lost. Gilded frames emerge from beneath black residue. Marble floors appear as corruption retreats like a lowering tide. Mosley polishes a cracked mirror. With each stroke, the glass clears further. His movements are precise but uncertain, as if muscle memory battles new awareness. He pauses as he notices the soldier's reflection in the mirror. Mosley.
Pardon the state of things. I feel rather odd at the moment. Almost as if I've been sleepwalking for years.
He straightens with a butler's discipline, fighting his confusion.
I trust you delivered my message to Lord Ebonheart regarding the manor's condition and Midnight's wanderings.
The soldier emits non-committal sparks. Salome nods vigorously, her scrunched face betraying their secret. Mosley.
Most peculiar. I do hope everything is in order with his lordship. The house hasn't felt this substantial in ear in quite some time.
The soldier and Salome exit, making their way toward Asterios's chamber. Interior labyrinth chambers. Inside, stone walls stand solid where they once bulged with pulsing veins. Ancient weapons hang on the walls, their surfaces shedding tarnish like snake skin. Asterios paces his chamber, each hoof strike echoing sharply. Without the haze, the minotaur seems larger. Asterios. Pacing, snorting.
Who is it? What do you want? Can't you see I'm trying to...
His horns scrape the ceiling as he turns toward them. Bovine features contorting.
Metal Man, my thoughts are clearing, and you? You dare return now?
The Minotaur assumes a fighting stance, drawing his axe high.
Oh, you fool! Ancient law demands combat! Face me again and make it quick!
The soldier engages in an interactive battle. Asterios charges forward but stops suddenly, confusion crossing his face.
Wait, wait, wait! There will be no battle! Not today.
He stomps, cracking the stone floor beneath his hooves. The soldier shrugs at Salome as she shrugs back.
Come back when I'm stronger. I need to train. I need to eat something.
He swings his axe at a wall, leaving a clean gash in the stone, his breathing heavy and uncertain. The soldier and Salome leave the agitated Minotaur behind, emerging back into the market district. Exterior Moon Barrow's Market District. The marketplace stands silent. Empty stalls straighten imperceptibly. Awnings shed flakes of black residue. What was deliberate rot now appears as simple abandonment, natural decay of a forgotten place. Skinner leans against a wall, purple zoot suit stark against weathered stone. One hand flips a coin between fingers. Skinner.
Oh, Raleigh, so the dough. The air's getting cleaner, I say. You can actually breathe without tasting more teeth now.
Salome points at his gold teeth, giggling. Skinner. To Salome.
You like the bling, Pescania?
Tapping his gold caps.
Even my rocks are glowing brighter.
Salome suddenly perks up, remembering something. With purpose in her step, she tugs the soldier toward Wilbur's wondrous wares. The shop's exterior shows subtle signs of change. The murk thins, allowing actual shadows where before there was only gloom. Interior, Wilbur's wondrous wares. Wilbur stands behind his counter, mushroom-like body glowing faintly. He straightens with interest at their arrival. Wilbur.
Well, well, if it isn't my favorite customers. Come to trade more spores?
Salome.
Champignon, mushroom man.
Pulling on the soldier's arm.
Champignon, mushroom man, champignon, mushroom man, champignon, mushroom man.
Wilbur tilts his cap-like head, clearly amused despite not understanding her words. Wilbur.
Little one, I don't understand a lick of what you're saying, but I like the cut of your jib. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, you look like a pair in need of a mycelium pilot. Am I right?
Salome.
Oui, oui, pilote.
Wilbur.
Well, little one, you are in luck.
He dons a pilot's hat with authority, producing a shiny badge from his wallet.
Why, in fact, I just retook my certification. I'm fully licensed for routes in both realms. Pardon me one moment, I'll be right back.
Wilbur glows brightly, then melts into the floor. Seconds later, he reemerges with another Rootkin.
Thanks for waiting. I'm pleased to introduce my lovely sister, Winderfrid. She's also my wife and my uncle. She'll be taking over this location while I go forth and license the franchise.
Wilbur steps around the counter to join them.
My pilot skills are at your service. You rescued me from those trolls, after all. This is the least I could do. Why, if not for your help, my sister Uncle Winifred here would be a widower.
Problem solved. The soldier and Salome lead Wilbur back toward the mausoleum. Interior Lord Ebonheart's mausoleum. They return to the mausoleum, now just an old tomb rather than a nexus of corruption. The party looks up expectantly, postures showing impatience and resignation. Salome.
Homme champignon, pilote.
Thorn.
By the Queen's horned crown, you've managed to locate a Rootkin?
Balthazar, elbowing Rosie.
Ha ha! Soldier find pilot! I knew I make good choice with that one!
Grendel, sniffing the air.
Yum. Fresh fungus.
Bill.
Wait, what's going on? Who's the mushroom man?
Thorn.
He's our ticket out of here.
To Wilbur.
You can pilot the mycelium, I presume.
Wilbur, showing his badge.
Indeed I can, good sir. Wilbur's the name, and mycelium piloting's my game. Licensed and certified for routes in all realms.
Bjarn, leaning on Gullinbur Stee.
Does this mean Goldie and I can finally go home?
Thorn.
Yes, but we must first get the soldier to Cumlan Manor. We are to present him there to Queen Gloriana. It's of utmost importance.
Turning to Wilbur.
I presume our newfound pilot will be able to escort you back to your domicile once we've successfully completed our mission.
Wilbur.
As long as you've got an active and open mycelium terminal in the vicinity, I can take you anywhere you'd like to go.
Bjarn.
I have a terminal. I suppose we can wait for your errand. I'm indebted to you for helping Goldie and I get out of this place.
Thorn.
Excellent. That's settled, then. We shall depart for Cumlan Manor forthwith. Once we've accomplished our rendezvous with the Queen, Bjarn and his companion will be escorted back to,
Bjarn.
Nordrveger. Fjellheim.
Thorn.
Taken back to Nororveger. Sir Wilbur, at your convenience.
Wilbur, slapping his hands together.
Alrighty, folks, one quick trip to Cumlan Manor coming right up. Remember to keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the mycelium at all times. Please note that the mycelium, myself, or any other representative of Wilbur's Wondrous Wares Corporation, are not responsible for any harm, loss, or death that may result during your travels. On my ready.
Bill, raising his hands in panic.
Wait. Can someone explain what's going on?
Wilbur.
Ah, one moment. I see we have a first-time traveler.
Clearing his throat, slightly annoyed.
Allow me to elucidate, my good man. The mycelium network is a vast interconnected web of fungal pathways that span across the planet in both the mortal and otherworldly realms. As a certified pilot, I am trained to navigate these ethereal highways, transporting folks to various locations.
Bill, staring blankly.
Uh-huh.
Wilbur.
However, there are limitations. I can only take you to known, active mycelium terminals. Think of them as fungal train stations, if you will. Each terminal must be properly maintained and connected to the greater network for us to use it as a destination. If the destination station is open, it's a smooth trip. If it's not open, well, at least I'll be fine. Everyone else, on the other hand...
Bill.
How do you know if where we are going is open?
Wilbur. Pausing to think.
That's a great question. Well, anyhow...
Wilbur steps into the center of the terminal. The fungal tendrils surge with light, glowing intensely around his feet.
All aboard! Next up, Camlin Manor in the mortal realm of Southwest England.
He sinks into the floor as if pulled through quicksand. The others approach with varying confidence. Rosie, touching Bill as she passes by.
You'll be just fine, dearie.
Balthazar, patting Bill as he enters the terminal.
Hope you got empty stomach.
Thorn, ushering the remaining group.
Soldier Salome, William, if you will, please.
One by one, they step onto the platform. Each contact dissolves their form into spiraling particles. Bill remains frozen at the edge, sweat beating on his forehead as he watches the others disappear. He leans forward, trying to peer into the swirling luminescence. A hand shoots up from the mycelium, Wilbur's, and yanks Bill down. His scream cuts short as he's pulled below. The terminal pulses once more with blinding intensity, then dims to emptiness. The traveler's gone.